Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of
what's up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what's going on? It's Friday, TGIF. It's an amazing, the market's pulled off in another amazing feat. You got Kim Jong-un at it again, and of course, another missile flying by, and the market sell off a little bit, and then of course they rally. It's really quite the amazing deal here that we've come to a point that nobody cares about anything. Markets are at record highs. We made another record on Thursday, and nobody cares. And it's interesting because, again, and I'm not saying you should care. I'm just saying that, hey, you know, you get to these certain points in markets, and you know, we're drifting along, and we've got this slow drift higher. You know, dull markets do go higher anyways. You know, again, remember that there's always money pouring in. So if there's absence of volume, absence of any interest, they're going to drift higher. But I think it's interesting when you look at the situation that there is no fear. You can't get volatility to come back to the market right now. You know, is it because we're open 24 hours? Is that one of the reasons? But I think it's you know, more interesting that we have not done anything against North Korea. I understand this, the sanctions and all the BS, but why aren't we making China react to this? Why aren't we making them take care of it? You know, everybody says, well, we can't because they're the largest holder of our debt. Well, what is the difference? So what, are we going to default? I mean, does it matter? I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to foreclose? You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about it, because they're not going to do anything. They hold our debt. We're going to pay the debt. But if they don't take care of their business for us, then that should be a little bit of a problem. And I would find that to be very much of a problem, and I think it's kind of disappointing that we aren't pushing them a little bit harder to say, hey, you need to take care of that goof out there. You know, look, you can see that he has no regard for any authority, and you know, they're nuts. So if are we going to sit there and wait for a pounding? Are we going to wait till somebody gets killed? You know, this is one of the problems I always have is why do we have to wait? Where is it written that we can't be the aggressor here? That was always my problem with Obama and ISIS, is why didn't we take care of it? And now this is another problem, and why aren't we taking care of it? And that to me becomes the bigger story. Is, you know, we heard Mnuchin talk about it the other day, about we can do all these different things. Like, okay, cool, let's do all these different things, but at the end of the day, let's get it done. I don't want to wait until he blows up Japan, or until he blows up Guam, or until he does anything. I don't want to pretend like we're playing a game of chicken. I want to go get him. I think that is the bigger story, is that why aren't we going after him? Okay. And that becomes, to me, the situation that we need to address today, is let's take care of it. Now, I thought that by last Friday, that we would have done something already. Because, you know, President Trump is a little bit more aggressive than others, excuse me, in this office. But for some reason, and again, maybe there's something that I don't know, but for some reason, we are not on top of it. And I think that we need to go, you know, knock him down, you know, take him out right now. Now, whether or not we take out the regime or not, that's one thing. But I think the first step is to put the squeeze on China, saying, hey, that's your problem. Deal with it. You know, because the truth of the matter is, or the facts of the matter is Russia loves what's going on here because it keeps us tied up with nonsense. And possibly China does, too. You know, even though they say one thing, I don't, you know, one thing when you're dealing with your, I guess you can call them your frenemies, is they like when you're involved in others. It keeps you away from them. So I think that, you know, we continue to sit here and do nothing. I think that creates a bigger problem. And I think that that tells us something that, you know, we need to really, you know, take charge here. And this is why, you know, this is where the next big problem will come from. You know, we've got this terrorist activity all over the place. You know, today in London, there's something in the tube. There's, you know, every day there's something new with terrorism. Now, again, I go back to, but the markets don't care. And I'm not saying that the market should care about it. I mean, I'd be a little bit concerned. I'd have a little bit of fear. But at the end of the day, they don't. At the end of the day, the markets continue to drift higher. Now, you know, somebody said to me, well, that's because earnings are good. I said, okay, well, yeah, if you're happy with earnings that are in that companies are contracting, and you're happy with those earnings, okay. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm just going to say, hey, okay, I'm not happy with companies that are contracting. I'm not happy with all the terrorism going on. I'm not happy with what's going on with North Korea, because any one of these things could burst at any moment. And I think that becomes the concern. But as you look and you see and you just look at what's going around, I mean, you know, if you take a look at the situation that we have going on, what are we doing about it? You know, what's China doing about it? And, you know, obviously, this guy don't care. I mean, he made some ridiculous statement that he wants to turn us into dust or into water. I don't know, something stupid. I mean, you know, this is what you're dealing with. When you're dealing with someone who has no regard for human life to begin with, then, of course, you've got somebody who has basically nothing to lose. And I think that is the bigger story. And that's why I believe that it needs to be taken care of now. Because if we continue to wait until something bad happens, then what does that do? That, to me, is the bigger problem. And I think this is where we need to, you know, nip it in the bud, as my man Barney Fife used to say. And I want to make sure I remind you that, first of all, every day now, after the market close, I send out a recap, Bubba's Daily Updates, which I do by video. You can get those at bubbatrading.com. You can also have them emailed directly if you want. Just shoot me an email and say, hey, I'd like to get it, or go to my YouTube channel. And there's libertytalk.fm, so you can download The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge every day. And of course, it's football weekend, so we'll have a couple of selections today just for those of you who like to play. And in the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break and enjoy this Friday and come back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here and we'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. To The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, obviously, We've had some interesting activity going on with, you know, the potential or possibilities for fear. And I think it's interesting, as we talked a little earlier about what was going on in North Korea. And of course, if you heard the announcement after Thursday's close, gold went, got as high as about 1340, I believe it was. All right. And since subsequently, where are we at now? 1338. So it's already sold off, and it's now back to almost lower on the day. And again, I think gold is fine. I think that the levels in which we're at are fine. Again, I'm looking to be a buyer. But you had a chance. And again, this is why we talk about the fear asset and what gold really is. And to me, gold is really just another hard asset. I'm not a big fan of the what they call the fear play. I think that, you know, it's simply an asset class that we use. And I think it's something, is it a currency? So I think using a hard asset is great. And of course, I think that some of the pressure has been put on gold, and it hasn't rallied quite as much as we would think it should have, because you've got what's going on in the cryptocurrencies. They've been extremely hot, and I think they themselves, for believers, are another asset class that does kind of replace the currency. Now, I think one of the problems with that is obviously gold. You can hold it, you can touch it, you can feel it, and Bitcoin's kind of in the air. Bitcoin has taken a pretty good beat down the last couple of weeks, and you know, from after hitting 5,000, it's now, you know, exploding to the downside, and I don't think that that's a major problem. I think that's, you know, part of, I think that's part of markets anyways. I mean, I wouldn't, like, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't make me, oh my God. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, that, you know, you got Bitcoin trading somewhere probably around, you know, 3,000. And, you know, it's lost, in some instances, it's lost, you know, 40 or so percent of its value. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, asset classes do sell off. Okay. So it's down to 3,000 from over 5, so it's down 40%. You know, is it good? Should you feel good about it? No. But should you be panicking? No. But that's, of course, what will happen, and of course that will drive it. But you know, you weren't panicking when it was going straight up. Okay, this is where, again, this is the human emotion of trading. Okay, you know, nobody was panicking when it was going to the moon. Okay, nobody was worried about you know, the big deal. And I think this is where you end up with some problems, okay? You know, that it's, you're getting a little bit of fear, a little bit of panic, because we're reverting back to some of the old ways. But I wouldn't, again, I would not, you know, I'm not telling you to jump in. I'm not telling you that you should load up and put everything in Bitcoin, because obviously I don't own any yet. I've been trying to buy some BitShares. But again, I think it's a very viable currency, but as in with most bubbles, you know, you end up sometimes with a little bit of selling. Remember, markets tend to overdo it to the downside, and markets tend to overdo it to the upside. Well, certainly, I think Bitcoin overdid it to the upside, and certainly the selling pressure should be of no surprise. We talked about it here many times, about that we expected to see a sell-off, and here it is. So now it's not that they're selling off. See, but here's what your emotions will get in the way. What you should be looking at now is, okay, so where's the next spot to get in? That's what your concern should be now, is not that it's sold off, because it's sold off. Listen, it's no big deal. It's sold off. We shouldn't be surprised that it's sold off. But the question is where do you get back in? And that would be what I'd be looking at, and that'd be what I'd be thinking about, is where's the next entry? Because again, if you believe that it's viable, and I have, you know, as I've gone from my transition from it's garbage to it's acceptable, is I've had a great transformation over the years as I watch it and I study it and I talk to others that are, I guess, more in the know. And of course, the true believers obviously have done extremely well here. But what you want to remember is that, okay, it's like any other asset class. It should be like any other chart. Where is my next entry? And based on the chart, you know, I would say you'd probably look around 3,000 might be a spot, maybe even a little bit less. But if you're a believer, this is an opportunity for you to start to look to buy. This is not an opportunity. This isn't a spot for you to panic. This is a spot for you to say, hey, I can find a good opportunity now. And that's what we should be concerned about, is where is the chance to get back in? Because that's, again, if you're a believer in the currency, if you're a believer in what's going on, then that's what you should be looking for. Now, again, obviously they were all affected, Monero and Ethereum. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, you know, because markets do this all the time. I think this is the common mistake that many make is, you know, we think that things are going to go forever. We think that things are never going to go down. And of course, now, you know, it's going down. And of course, here comes the fear, and here comes the rest of the deal. Okay. And everybody's like, oh my God. And, you know, hey, it shouldn't be, oh my God. It should be, okay, where is my opportunity to get back in? Because again, these markets aren't going to zero. Even if they're no good, they're not going to zero tomorrow. There's going to be buyers in here, right? This is not the Pet Rock. This is not the Beanie Babies. This is something that is considered very viable in a market. And again, as the movement against the Federal Reserve grows, you will get more and more people interested in the Bitcoin, in the cryptocurrency space. And if you do that, all right, then you will see obviously more demand. And of course, this is a true price discovery product. It's strictly built on the supply-demand model, which is true price discovery. It's a true, you know, bid market, you know, so there is no standard, and it will change. It changes, you know, momentarily. It changes, you know, minute by minute what the value is. But again, I don't see any reason to panic or puke here. I mean, certainly if you bought something to 5,000, you might be a little bit concerned. But again, if you've been in, you know, and you've been trading it properly, then you should have taken some profits, and you get look for spots to get back in. So here, again, is this the right level? I don't know if this is the right level, but I think, you know, somewhere around here, there's going to be a bounce, and it would probably be pretty healthy, especially after Thursday's, you know, real clobbering. So if you think that if you're a player there, then you want to be looking for a chance to get back in. And that's, again, this is something that is old as, you know, as old as humanity or as mankind. Is the way that markets function. You know, it didn't matter. You know, you can go back to, you know, the cavemen, you know, that were trading, you know, land for food. You know, one guy had a barren land, the other guy had no meat, right? Well, they were able to exchange. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the exchange. And that's how the market itself works. And this is why, again, you don't want to let things get too, you know, out of hand. And why you want to take your emotions out of it, because nothing has changed when it comes to the business of marketing or trading. Okay. And that's really what you have to understand, is that all markets are the same and all patterns repeat and everything does the same thing. In the meantime, we do the same thing because this is the Bubba Show. And of course, if you go to Liberty Talk every day, Liberty Talk.fm every day, and download the show, you'd be helping a brother out. And of course, you can also get the Sporting Edge there, which is on the weekends. And don't forget about my daily update, Bubba's Daily Update, which is a market recap. We're going to stop out here for a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Let's go to Rural Radio with John right now and hear what I got to say about the farm. Here we go.
How are you this morning?
What do you say, John? How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. Here we are in the middle of the week already. Grains, I don't know. Would you call this a bounce on the overnight trade?
I thought it was a bounce off of the report yesterday. You know, as you and I talked yesterday morning, I thought that, you know, the numbers would be bearish. But I thought that was already priced in, and of course, we've now rallied back about, you know, our almost 10 cents in corn from the lows, and I think we're going to go higher. I think I would think the lows are now in, and I don't see anything that's going to really drive us lower. I mean, how much more stuff are they going to pile on top of this and try to make it more negative? So I would think that it kind of, as we talked about, that it kind of hit the bottoms, and it was probably a good buying opportunity. And I think that we continue to work our way higher. We'll probably test, you know, today I would think maybe, you know, 355 to 358 and then see where we go from there. But I think the bottoms are in, and I think we look to be buyers.
It makes some people start to wonder, okay, if the trade is starting to get wary of this mantra that USDA is not going to lower its estimates before harvest.
Well, I mean, again, I don't put a lot of faith in the USDA's right. reports anyways, but at the end of the day, you know, really it comes down to money. And if there's going to be buyers, if there's going to be demand, if we're going to see some things, and of course, I've said before, I believe a lot of what I think is predicated that the equity markets will sell off at some point, and a lot of that money will flow into the ag markets. So I think there's some underlying strength there. I think you had an overabundance of shorts getting into this market, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a sharp rally in the next couple of days at some point, because I think eventually when the shorts realize that they're really not going to go down much farther, I think you're going to see a pretty sharp recovery, and we'd call a short squeeze coming on.
What about the overall commodity complex? Do you think that the funds are interested in slowly starting to migrate some of their money back to the broader commodity sector?
I would think that there is a lot of money that would like to come back in here. But again, if you look at, you know, what are your choices and where are your returns, they still haven't come back here. But I think we're getting to very attractive pricing, especially in wheat and in corn, that say, hey, you know, we've got a chance for a nice return here. And if we're going to see real growth in this economy, and if we're going to see, you know, real growth, and we're going to continue to have a weaker dollar, which that looks to be the case, then we should be able to expand and have these grain markets start to take off to the upside. So, yes, I do think that.
Well, the cotton market really took it on the chin yesterday afternoon, too. Limit lower in that December contract for a good part of the trading day, and then the next nearby also went lower and locked limit lower there just before the close.
Well, you know, again, that'll happen, and, you know, we've had some, you know, fairly, you know, strong movement to the upside. You know, one of the things you have to remember about in any market, John, is that when we get these dramatic moves that continue to go either straight up or straight down, the ending is never very pretty. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing. And you're going to have some action, and then what's going to happen is the markets will then pick a point in where they really feel that they should be. Because, again, we do get over – we get too much action in one direction, and that's why I don't like when we have, you know, limit up or limit down moves. Even if I'm on the right side of the market, I would rather see a market that starts to trend and build momentum to go up versus getting squeezed up or squeezed down by having too many shorts or too many longs on one side of the market.
Excellent point. Todd Horowitz of Bubba Trading here with us this morning. Todd, if you'll be gracious enough to just hang on, we're going to hold you through the break and talk about the livestock trade. And folks, you be sure and stay tuned, because we've got more of this morning's Commodity Wrap straight ahead right after this. With John Jenkinson and Todd Horowitz and Zach Troutman here this morning as we're all kind of looking at and discussing these markets. And Todd, it's time to take a look at this livestock market. Yesterday was just kind of one of those down to sideways trade days. I keep watching for any sign of cash trade. Today's the Fed Cattle Exchange. That might give us some direction, but it looks like we might be headed for steady prices this week at this juncture.
I think we will have steady to higher prices. Again, I'm looking at in fat cattle. I think that we've hit the major support, and we're going to try to grind our way higher. Certainly, if we went down back to the 105 area, it wouldn't be a total shock. However, I do believe when this is all said and done, we'll see 110, 112 or higher. And I think we'll continue to move up here. I think we've taken and reversed the backwardation pattern we were in for months, and now we're in contango, and we look to work our way higher. And I think that, again, all signs point to better prices. I would have a little bit of concern in the feeders. Now, longer term, I like feeders, but I think they've ran up to our first target was 150, and we're right there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of a pullback there. But again, I would look at that as another buying opportunity. I'm pretty obviously positive and bullish the entire agricultural space at the moment, and that's not always the case, but it is now. I think we've done a lot of constructive work in the markets, and I think they look like they should work their way higher. And certainly, I would not be a seller in these areas. I'd be looking to be a buyer.
You mentioned feeders touching that 150. What's their next objective, and are they going to keep the corn price in the background?
You know, I don't think they've paid much attention to the corn price, John. If we go back and just look recently, when feeders were really struggling and down, it's just sub about 140. You know, they got down to 139.10. Corn was down in its lows, and there was really no interest there on what corn was doing. I think we look at markets and we want to make sure that they correlate together, but they don't correlate always at the same time. And I think now you've seen this nice run up. And, you know, we look at 150 as a little bit of resistance now. I think once we get through 150, I think you're done looking at 155. And I think there's a real good shot we go higher than that once we get through. But I would not be surprised at all to see 145 show up before the rest of this happens. Like, again, this year, you know, looking at the markets and looking at the charts, I think that's kind of what we're watching for. And, you know, I would not be a buyer with new money right here. I'd be defending if I had bought and looking for that pullback to step in and rebuy once again.
Isn't it interesting where the choice and select now are inverse of each other here for just this short term? You know, there for a while, I thought maybe we were going to widen that spread back out. Yesterday kind of erased that.
Well, that happens. You know, look, we very often in these types of markets, you do get a little bit of crazy pricing. You know, growing up in the meat business, which is where I actually grew up, and is my father was a peddler, and we used to, you know, go out and pick up meat, and, you know, you just could see sometimes things were just kind of out of whack, and that kind of happens just based on a certain, you know, supplier demand at a certain time for something. And of course, the packers and the vendors know that there's something going on, so they, of course, raise the prices as well, and it makes it a little bit tougher.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the hog market. You were talking about raising and lowering prices and things. Hog market still hasn't seemed like it's really completely recovered and gotten back on its feet just yet.
I think we look pretty good here, John. I think that, you know, you saw the low in December. of just under 56, and we're right now just above 57. I'd look to be, you know, a buyer in these this neighborhood around here. Obviously, as I mentioned yesterday, I did buy some yesterday, and I'd look to buy a little bit more here. I think that, you know, we've now reached, you know, we had some major action throughout the year, and we had a couple of major squeezes that I think culminated in August. And once that was over, we had the dramatic drop. And I think now we've settled down to the price area where we should be. And I would expect to see some new money come in, some buyers come in here. And I would think that I would expect to hold this, you know, 56, 57 area and look to see higher and probably a pushback, you know, first over 60. But then I think we have a heck of a chance to go back into the mid 60s as well in December, Hogs.
I always enjoy hearing your outlook on some of the outside markets. Taking just a general look at things like crude oil and the dollar and some of the outside markets that influence the commodities. What's your thought here from now to the end of this month until we roll the calendar to October?
Well, I think if you look at crude, I think crude is going lower. Now, it's higher this morning. It's up about 40 cents. And, of course, we've got the EIA report at 9:30 Central. But, again, I think that's all garbage myself personally. I mean, look, there's no demand. There's plenty of supply. And you've got a lot of people trying to manipulate it. And we still can get prices higher. So I would look for a spot to sell crude. My target's been for about the last 6 or 7 months was 40. I'm still looking for 40 and probably below. The dollar itself, you know, I would think that somewhere here we have found a bottom. And believe it or not, I don't think that a higher dollar from here would have a dramatic effect on commodities, because I think that everything's already been priced in, and I think the commodity markets kind of know that the dollar's a little bit ridiculously low, and this is more low because it's been more manipulated down, you know, because of what the central banks are doing. You know, you've got all kinds of programs going on throughout the globe that are trying to, you know, make sure they get their currencies right, and I think what you're going to see is the euro currency will flip and start to head lower, which then would drive the dollar higher, because it's 60% of the dollar is driven by the euro. So I think we'll start to see higher prices in the dollar, but I do not believe that will affect the commodity space at all.
Awesome. All right. Well, Mr. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with Bubba Trading. And as you can tell, he's got a lot of information, a lot of wisdom. If you'd like to tap into that, Todd, what's the best way to contact you, sir?
The best way is to email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. Anytime, I'll be happy to answer questions. I've got plenty of webinars, and we're going to do some new ones. So that's the easiest way to get me. I'll get back to you normally within, if I'm running slow, about 5 or 6 minutes. So please reach out to me, and I'll be happy to get back to you.
Not a problem. When's your next webinar coming up? Do you have one scheduled?
We don't have any next date, but it'll be in the next 10 days, and it'll be, you know, on hedging agricultural products and how to make sure that you protect yourself.
Okay. Todd, have a great day, man.
Thanks, John. You too. I appreciate it. And this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break. Remember, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show. We'll be back right after the break with more. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I took my farm report from the other day. Pretty good call, eh? So, you know, what's going on with in the farming community? What's going on with prices, and why are they continuing to get trashed? I mean, and certainly they rallied a little bit off the bottoms, but, you know, why is there so much pressure here? And doesn't that send you a little bit of a message of really what some of the issues are? I mean, you know, you look at prices we have today, you know, corn $3.53. You know, we're only 10% above the recent lows, which were, I don't know, almost 2 years ago, I guess. I don't understand, you know, where this is all going. You know, these levels here are outstanding, in my opinion. Again, you've got to be willing to hold. You've got to be willing to be like some of the farmers who are going to put their stuff in bins. And hold. I think you'll get much higher prices down the road, but you will get some panic. You will get some people that will get squeezed down at these prices, and it makes you wonder, okay, what's next? And it really makes you wonder about the USDA and how, what is their accuracy level, and how much, how do they really represent the overall business. You know, as you know, the Fed is a joke. And when the Fed reports, they don't represent everybody. They represent the very wealthy, basically. And I think that's the same as USDA. You know, you're getting pricing based on, you know, production in Iowa, let's say, where they can produce 170 bushels an acre versus the Dakotas, which can produce 80. You know, so the guy who can only produce 80, he's getting tortured because his costs have got to be similar to the guy who can produce a lot more, right? So, you know, these prices are, again, pretty much laughable. Now, certainly it's not laughable if it's yours, but from a, you know, from an investing standpoint, which is the way I'm looking at it, me, I'm a buyer. I mean, I own it. I'm long corn. I'm long wheat. And we'll watch soybeans around this 977 level. And they get up there yesterday, and now they're hovering just below it. And I think you're seeing very similar prices in cattle. I mean, you know, while nobody's looking, you know, fat cattle down, you know, 105, you know, it's only 10% from last year's 96 lower. We thought the world was coming in. And again, this is due to, in my opinion, a lot of the things that A, the Federal Reserve does based on the money, and B, also the crappy reporting, in my opinion, from the USDA. I don't think we get the proper specs. I don't think they do true due diligence to find out what's going on. And of course, that creates a little problem. And again, if you go to different pockets of the country, you'll find a whole bunch of stuff that's different. And that's kind of what, you know, we look at. But that, you know, ties into, you know, all markets. You know, that's why, you know, you have to be careful in markets, because markets do what markets are going to do. And it's not really necessarily based on, you know, when I do my analysis, I don't do it based on what the USDA says. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the Fed says. I try to read the money flow and the tape action. And I think that gives me enough information. Because, again, if you understand the investing world, there's gamblers, there's traders, there's investors, there's hedgers. And if you have, if you're watching the money flow, then you're giving yourself a much better chance, because what happens is the people in the know, and there are people in the know, let's not kid each other like it doesn't happen. The people that are in the know, okay, are, you know, they're preemptively buying or selling, depending on what they know. But again, they're putting together these reports long ahead of time. And of course, the markets are thinner. So you can see what they're trying to do. And once they push to a certain level, and I think this is where we see here in the grains, is they've pushed so hard to the downside, and yet we're not down. Excuse me, we're not. We stopped going down. Okay, we're lower, but we've stopped going down. And I think that becomes something that you have to look at, because again, this goes back to that the business itself. You know, when the sellers are pushing hard, or the buyers are pushing hard, it doesn't matter. And it stops going in that direction, it should give you a pretty good warning sign. You know, I think it's pretty much like last night, just for example, on the equities. The North Korean bombing thing came out, and the S&P went down about 8 points, and the Dow was down about 50. And they couldn't take it down anymore. And you could just see every tick was a little bit dribble higher, a little bit dribble higher. And that's just telling you, that's sending you a message that's saying, hey, we're not going down anymore from here. And I think that's kind of what you see in the markets. And this is where it becomes the issue, is that you have to be prepared to either change your mind, keep your opinion out of it, because markets are going to do what they do. This is, again, this is not new. This is not something that just happened yesterday. This is something that's been going on for the entire history of markets, no matter what you trade, okay? They all do the same thing. They all react the same way off of certain things. when markets get oversold, they typically bounce. When markets get overbought, they typically sell off. Markets will typically try to trade in a trend, except a big portion of the trading time is spent in what we call consolidation. And again, it doesn't matter what market you're looking at. You could look at Bitcoin. You could look at cockroaches. You could look at toilet paper. You know, why do you think that retail stores keep charts of what they sell and when they sell it so they can buy properly? Because they know that the charts are always right. The footprint in the market is always right. And that's something that, you know, we tend to forget about, is that the markets leave a footprint. And if you can follow that footprint, you're going to be a hell of a lot better off. Okay. And that was the, you know, the footprint in gold was pretty clear. I mean, we were pretty much on top of the gold from the beginning, you know, first the sell off and then the buying and where to buy from. You know, the markets, we continue to say, look, I don't like them. I'd love to be a seller, but I'm not going to get in the way of it. I'm not going to try to stop it with my face. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So you have to learn to use the footprint of the market and know when it goes way down too fast or way up too fast, it's probably going to reverse. It's probably going to do something else. And it doesn't mean it's going to reverse forever. It just means it's going to reverse for potentially 10 minutes, an hour, whatever. All right. You know, again, markets do this all the time. The same patterns repeat over and over and over again. And that's why I always teach everybody, learn how to look at a 1 minute chart, not necessarily a trade off of, but you can see the footprints a lot faster because you're basically in one day, you're getting a year's worth of data based on a 1 minute chart. And because all charts are the same, it doesn't really matter. And it does, so it does teach you a little bit faster. And then you figure out what time frame you actually want to trade on yourself after that. But those are the things that we want to make sure that everybody understands. And the other thing we want to make sure you understand is it's a football weekend once again. And, of course, a couple of big games. And I've got the parlay for you for the pros. And that'll be the Green Bay Packer at Atlanta and the Denver Bronco, both underdogs. That's my that's the Bubba special. In the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm. You can download the Sporting Edge and get the boys' picks for the weekend on Saturday. And, of course, you also can get the Bubba Show every single day. And don't forget about our daily market recap, which is done via YouTube. And you can get a hold of that. Check it out at bubbatrading.com. In the meantime, everybody have a great weekend. As always, it's great to share some time with you. I appreciate you all. And we'll see you back here on Monday. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.